Now, back to your tech report.
We're back on your tech report. Thank you guys for being with us each and every single week. Of course, if you want to connect with us, contact at yourtechreport.com. And of course, you can find us everywhere at Your Tech Report. So the Wi-Fi World Congress North America is rolling into Toronto this September, right after Labor Day. And I have the pleasure of welcoming the CEO and chairman of this event, and of course of Wi-Fi Now, the organization that runs this event, Klaus Hedding. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here to talk about the event.
I'm super excited to be on your show, Mark. Thank you so much for inviting me. And we're excited about, you know, going to Toronto for the first time. So
you got to tell me, this is like the first time, and I have to admit this, because I'm sure there's other people who for the first time are finding out about this event in particular. Tell me about the event, because you're running on about 8 years now since this event started. What's the event about? What are people going to find out at this event? Who comes to it?
Okay, so it's a Wi-Fi industry event, we usually call it, right? And what does that mean? It means it's really for folks that have day jobs that involve Wi-Fi technology or the business of Wi-Fi in some way, right? And that means we actually get, and we're super, super proud of this, we get the top people basically working on Wi-Fi technology, attending our events and especially speaking at our events and so on. So these are the actual folks who they're actually building the technology that you will use. You are using probably right now in your laptop or in your phone or in your home with your router and with your mesh Wi-Fi and all of that. So these are the folks that actually come to our events and share their insights on, you know, the industry, where it's going, new innovation, you know, opportunities. I mean, the two words that we use a lot at Wi-Fi Now are innovation and opportunity. So we are a tech event. And of course, we want to show folks all the great new technology that's coming out, right, in the Wi-Fi space. But we're also very much, very much entrepreneurial. We're very business oriented. So we like to, you know, showcase new opportunities, how to basically make money, how to, you know, build businesses around the new technology that's emerging, right? So we're very focused on that as well.
Now, you know, what I think Wi-Fi, you know, as a consumer, obviously, exactly as you said, it's what I use on my phone, what I use on my computer. But there's so much more to Wi-Fi as a whole, because if you think about some of the companies, and I'll name just some of them that are on the website, for you know, Qualcomm, Aruba, Netgear, you know, Linksys. And then you think about some of the technologies that are emerging within Wi-Fi, such as Matter, Thread, et cetera, et cetera. Wi-Fi is a pretty big deal in terms of our lives, whether we touch it directly or not.
Correct. It's a huge deal. And I think it touches everybody's lives. I mean, you just imagine what would happen if you shut off the Wi-Fi just for one day. I mean, you couldn't do hardly
I got
anything.
Kids. I know exactly what that's like.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a massive deal. The interesting thing about the Wi-Fi industry is actually, in terms of the number of people involved, it's maybe, you know, a few thousand people, maybe 10,000 people or so globally that work to make this technology work, right? To make this technology happen. It's actually relatively small, that group of people. It's not like the mobile industry, people, there are millions and millions of people working in the mobile industry. But you're absolutely right. The companies involved are, among others, some of the biggest chipset silicon companies in the world, including, for example, Qualcomm. We worked with them for a long time. And they do probably, I have to be careful here, but they probably do the majority of the chips that go in both the routers on the router side and on the device side. So in your phones, essentially, right? And Intel is another good example. Intel, and I have to be careful once again with the number, but they do the vast majority.
We won't hold you to it. Don't worry. If the numbers may not be accurate, guys, here, okay? We're estimating.
All right, okay. So Intel, for example, they do the vast majority of the Wi-Fi chips that go into laptops, right? Minus, of course, Apple. They do something different. But anything that's is a PC, essentially.
Now, is that because... Right? Is that because they own the patents on what they're doing and therefore they have it? Or is it because they just have the manufacturing capability and the
prowess? It's more because they already have the processor in there, right? So typically the Wi-Fi platform goes together with the processor. Not always, but in by far most cases. So when it's got an Intel chip in there for the computer itself, the Wi-Fi piece more or less comes with it. It's the easiest thing to do for the manufacturers, right? And they produce some of the best Wi-Fi in the world, no question about it. And they're also very, very innovative in how they approach, Wi-Fi connectivity, as is Qualcomm. Qualcomm does nearly, I'm not going to say all, but probably 70-80% of the Wi-Fi that goes into Android-based phones, so pretty much anything other than Apple, right?
Yep.
Not exclusively. There's also MediaTek. It's a very strong Taiwanese company who does a big chunk of it as well. So that's kind of, that's how it works. So yeah, but just think about, you know, where Wi-Fi is and how we're surrounded by it. It's huge. I want to say that it's the most successful single technology of all time. If you count the number of devices that are Wi-Fi capable that are out there, it's in the billions of billions, right? Billions of billions. And it's not, of course, it's in the phones, it's in laptops,
televisions, every day. I mean, think of every day.
Yes.
Connected devices these days. Correct. I mean, they're in our remote controls. They're in everything.
It's absolutely everywhere. And, there's many generations of Wi-Fi technology coexisting out there. That's another characteristic of Wi-Fi technology is we have things that are maybe, and it's both good and bad, but we have things that are maybe 10 years old that'll still work with a new router, for example, right?
Now, is that by design, though? Is that intentional? Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's intentional. So all new Wi-Fi standards are always backwards compatible.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how it works.
So where do we stand today when it comes to Wi-Fi technology? And I'll give you a little fun story. When we first started doing this radio show and we actually started as a blog. One of the first exclusives that we had was Linksys's Velop Mesh system. Right. And that was one of the first Wi-Fi 5. I think mesh systems that ever that existed, and it was so cool to us because we had this exclusive. They sent us an embargo, and we got to talk about it. We were one of the first videos that were out there about it. But you know, fast forward to today, I'm going to ask you a question that's in a couple parts here, which is, and the number one is how quickly does that technology evolve? And you know, once a standard is issued, like we're talking about Wi-Fi 7 now, okay?
Yes.
Even though Wi-Fi 6 is not really In I think a lot of people's minds, Wi-Fi 6 really isn't necessarily out there entirely, and we're already talking about Wi-Fi 7. So, is this because the technology is moving faster than people can even adopt it?
Well, I think you kind of have to think of it as. By the way, there's an intermediate one. It's called Wi-Fi 6E.
I forgot about Wi-Fi 6E. Yeah, yeah. Oh my god!
Exactly. So, but be happy that we're not at the 802.11 and some alphabet soup kind of version because thankfully the Wi-Fi lines did away with that a while ago because that was completely not intelligible for because they don't follow any logical system. Other than if you work in the IEEE's standardization groups and so on. So anyway, the answer is there's a 5-year cycle typically. This is how it's set up. So every 5 years, a new Wi-Fi standard will be issued. And the exception in this case was actually the 6E standard. So I'll explain that to you in just a moment. You're right in that Wi-Fi 6 is actually still in some ways rolling out. It's by far the most shipped standard among Wi-Fi equipment now, right? But there's still a lot of Wi-Fi 5 and even Wi-Fi 4 around, of course. And it takes a while, for that, for the adoption to be complete because not everybody has the same need. I like to think of the new standards as it's kind of like, the iPhone story. There's going to be a new iPhone, but there's also going to be like 2 or 3 other generations of iPhones that you can still buy if you're okay with them, right? It's that sort of thing. I don't think necessarily it's a question of doing a complete upgrade of everything to a new standard. It's more and more, a coexistence of maybe 2 or 3 standards over, for a while, and then the older ones will eventually drop out, and the newer ones will appear. But that, I think it's more that sort of market scenario we're talking about today. And let's face it, not everybody will have a need to run out and buy, the latest Wi-Fi 7. It's just barely out, by the way. But some people will find it very useful, for example, to have Wi-Fi 6E, not that anybody actually really knows, except for us in the industry, what that means. But they might actually turn out to be something good for them because there's a lot more spectrum available in 6E, which means you'll get a much cleaner signal and you'll get a lot better Wi-Fi in your home or in your, for your business, typically because this new spectrum is totally clean and there's a lot of it, right?
I'm one of those guys that I geek out a little bit when it comes to this. I have, you know, you walk into my house and you see probably 8 different Ubiquiti hotspots in my house. Uh-huh. I've got it centrally managed. I've got a rack in the basement here. Uh-huh. So I'm constantly looking like, how can I speed things up? Like I speed test everywhere in my house.
Yes.
I measure the distance I try to find. But we've come to the point now, I think, where that kind of technology, that meshing technology and the ability to extend and really cover an area has become simpler. And I think that's,
yes,
that's because it's by design. It's so that, you know, people who aren't as geeked out as I am can, you know, go buy the latest from TP-Link, Linksys, whatever company,
right.
And get that kind of coverage. Is yet there's always the enterprise side of things. And there are so many use cases for Wi-Fi that I think are even pushing beyond just connecting our devices. You know, I've seen technologies where they're using the Wi-Fi signal to detect if someone falls in a room that's four Correct. Over.
Correct.
Is that still on the infancy? Are we still playing with that?
No, I would say we're more than playing with that. Wi-Fi sensing, we call it, right, is actually a super interesting field, and I'd say we're more than playing with it. There are service providers out there, operators that are already using this as an active commercial service.
Oh wow!
Right, in certainly in the U.S. and in elsewhere as well. In fact, specifically Wi-Fi sensing is interesting from a Canadian point of view because there's a company called, based just outside of Toronto, is called Cognitive Systems. It's a Canadian company. They were one of the first to commercialize, to basically develop this technology and commercialize it. Wi-Fi sensing, they call it Wi-Fi motion, I think.
Wi-Fi motion, yeah.
Yeah. So this is super interesting. And what it does, it passively uses, it listens for Wi-Fi signals. It has a way of interpreting changes in the signals as movement, and it's got, you know, a lot of sophistication to it because you've got to be able to tell whether it's a cat running around or your grandma getting up or something like that, right? So it's actually tricky to do because you've got to have the right AI engines and things like that, you know, to analyze.
It's almost like LiDAR without the vision.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But the cool thing about it is that it's not, I mean, if you want to do kind of a, if you like, a gentle monitoring of the elderly, for example, and you know, they don't want cameras pointing at them and stuff. And in this way, right. And in this way, you can actually do this in a sort of inobtrusive way. And it works. It works really well. As I said, we're, you know, they're making really good progress with this also commercially. And of course, they'll be at the Wi-Fi World Congress as well, where you can meet them.
So what are the big topics? Like, obviously, I mean, I'm assuming the conference rolls out, there's a lot of people speaking at it. What are the top, like, top five things that people are talking about when it comes to this event?
A lot of this event is about introducing new technology, including Wi-Fi 7 is the latest one. So that's going to come out later this year formally. There's already devices on the market, a few that support it. So that's a big step up in many ways, because what we have with that standard is obviously always more speed. I mean, we're talking about gigabits.
Oh, yeah. Device, bandwidth, right? Speed. Yeah, no, right, totally.
Right. So gigabits to the device. But more than that, this standard uses a number of features that allows you to have multiple connections, for example, running between the device and the router. So parallel connections, if you like. And the idea with that is to make sure there's a lot of redundancy in the signal so that you get very, very high quality and you get very low latency, so that this is really designed for something that at least can be very interactive, like what we're doing now. It could be, of course, gaming. It could be, you know, AR, VR type situations where the last microsecond, if you like, counts, right? So, and it also commercially, if you like, has implications, because I'll tell you about the other topics and it's just the same because there's a lot of them. One of the things that have hampered the Wi-Fi industry in many ways is that we've not been able to really guarantee a grade of service for a wireless service, for example, for you know, for an enterprise, for an office building and so on. And with the generations of Wi-Fi technology that are coming out now, they're in fact they're very close to cellular quality, right? Which means if you're a service provider, you can go out to your customer and say, hey, we can get you wall-to-wall wireless coverage, Wi-Fi coverage in this building, and we will guarantee you 99 point whatever it is, right, service level. And the only reason why you can do that now is because you have these technologies that are super sophisticated and, in fact, make sure that there's redundancy built in, if you like, into the data stream so that you get this kind of quality. So Wi-Fi 7 and to some extent also Wi-Fi 6 and 6E are really about getting the quality up as much as they are about more speed, right? So that's a big discussion, and that's right across the board. So we kind of split up, I like to think of the Wi-Fi industry in two parts. One is the part that it has to do with your home, right? That has to do with the router that you get from your service provider or the one that you buy, right? And the mesh that you buy from your electronic shop or whatever. That's one side of it. It's by far the biggest market because more or less everybody has that in every house.
Yeah. Right?
And that's one part of the Wi-Fi industry. And that story is very much has to do with service providers, but it also has to do with consumers. And they're typically the first to adopt new standards, right? So that's one piece of the industry. The other piece is all the professional stuff, like the enterprise, what we call the enterprise Wi-Fi solutions, which are delivered by companies like, I think you mentioned Ubiquiti is a good one, right?
Yeah, Ubiquiti, there's Juniper, Cisco,
Aruba, all these folks that basically their business is to a large extent based on providing professional Wi-Fi, right? So we've kind of also divided the event into 2 days, with the first day, which is more sort of in-home focused, and the second day, which is more focused on professional solutions, right, or enterprise. And some of the other topics that are important, we mentioned already Wi-Fi sensing. It's a big one because obviously there's a lot of activities in Canada on that. We're going to be spending, I'm sure, a lot of time discussing the impact of this new spectrum. This is something that is very, very important, and I think it's probably very few people, unless you're inside the industry, who know about this. So the 6 gigahertz band became available first in the US only about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And you probably know about this, Mark, but this band was, and we have to give credit to the FCC for this. And by the way, Canada was one of the first to jump on board as well, right? So in Canada, you have the same. In fact, I think you have a little bit more spectrum. So this means that you have basically three times the amount of frequency bands to work with in Wi-Fi than you had before. So that has been a huge jump, right? And we're only just now starting to see, the effects of this. And it's things like gigabits to the device. People are talking about
network congestion. It's like, from a consumer's perspective, it's your home. You know, people used to have to battle with neighbors when they were on like 2.4 gigahertz and stuff like that. Now that spectrum is a lot wider and more focused. And we do see it, even though people who may not, geek down to the numbers, see the benefits by better performance at home, by more bandwidth, and not seeing all this congestion that they used to have.
Absolutely right. And we're going to see more and more. I think, the Wi-Fi quality that you're experiencing, as these things roll out, get deployed and folks adopt them in their homes, we're going to see better and better Wi-Fi quality. In fact, I think within a couple of years, it's going to be unrecognizable compared to what you used to think Wi-Fi was, right? And it was kind of up and down, and you have all kinds of glitches when you're doing shows like this, and so on and so forth. So so that's a big deal, and that applies, that applies right across the board. I mean, everyone will benefit from the new spectrum. So service providers will be able to, like in Canada, I guess TELUS, Rogers, and so on, will be able to benefit from being able to deliver a much better service to your home, in your home, right? By, getting you a router that actually works across these bands. If you want to do more than that, you can get your own equipment and you'll benefit from that, from the mesh, which can now, think about the mesh. when you have three bands to work with, right? All of a sudden, or much more spectrum, all of a sudden you can dedicate, it doesn't exactly work like this, but kind of, you can dedicate parts of the band just to do the connection between the mesh units, right?
Yeah,
and the rest exactly. connector devices. And then already there, you have a huge benefit because the backhaul, if you like, is taken care of, and you have much more bandwidth available for the devices. So that's what's happening with Wi-Fi 6E and Wi-Fi 7, right? And in the enterprise, same thing. I mean, professional Wi-Fi networks that are properly, you know, planned, engineered with professional equipment and so on are going to be, you know, exceptional compared to what they were just a couple of years ago. And that means a lot for, you know, mobile workspaces and, you know, folks obviously using a lot of video conferencing and applications and types of things like this. It also means a lot to industry. So industry, it's a whole different area, of course, but industry where you need to be able to make sure that your robots in your logistics center have a good signal all the time. And, you know,
My mind goes to manufacturing, to medical, to the, you know, think of people, you know, that we hear a lot in the medical field about people doing remote surgeries.
Right.
I mean, without this kind of technology behind it, correct, there wouldn't be that reliability there. So this, correct, this is why it's an important conversation, I think. And what you're doing is so good, because people need to be aware of the things that keep us connected. Sometimes people find it's just they're happy to just make sure they can get online and go onto TikTok. But there's so much that goes into it, which is why we have shows like this, so we can talk about it.
There's a huge amount of technology that goes into these things, and it's very, very sophisticated. I had a conversation a few years ago with a gentleman who was essentially he's called the father of Wi-Fi. His name is Vic Hayes. He's more than 80 years old now. And he, in the 1980s, he was part of, he basically headed up the IEEE work group that made the first standard. And he was telling me these days, the standard, the written standard, the documents are like thousands and thousands of pages long, right? He said, he can't find heads and tails of it anymore because it's just so sophisticated. And the standard back then was, you know, obviously much more succinct, right? So even for a person like that, who's obviously a guru in his field, it has become tremendously sophisticated, this technology. And it's a tremendous effort, especially by everybody, but especially by, you know, the chipset manufacturers to make these things work, right? And there's huge teams working on this, right?
Well, it's so cool that you're bringing everybody together. And obviously, the Wi-Fi World Congress North America is happening September 18 to 20 in Toronto. If people want to find out more, I'm guessing it's wifinowglobal.com.
Yes.
And you can click on the Toronto link there.
Yes.
I hope you come back on in a couple months, talk to us about not only this event, but also there's a Bangkok event, right?
That's right.
You could tell me all about the things that come out of it, because this is what sets us up for the future. And while there are people at home going, what on earth are you talking about? I think we managed to at least bring it down to a little bit more of a consumable level so that people understand it, because it is super important.
Mark, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Very happy to come back, of course.
We'll take a quick break and come back here on Your Tech Report.
Your Tech Report will be right back.
It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Allie Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.
kits. I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous
or sexy.
Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network
or on our YouTube channel
or wherever you get your podcasts,
because democracy is something you do.